You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Britain's titled Lovers and Castaways, and it explores the decade of the 80s through artworks derived from the Arts House Trust collection. The reason I sort of picked the 80s was it was a really fascinating decade, both in terms of socially what was happening, but also in the way that artists were responding to the changes that were going on around them. So they were finding new ways to express what matters to them and experimenting with ideas, materials, concepts. So it was really, there was a lot to choose from. So it was, I sort of hope that the exhibition kind of gives just like a little bit of a snapshot and piques people's interest.
Yeah, and I kind of wanted to ask about the title of the exhibition, Lovers and Castaways. What was the significance of that to the art pieces that you chose?
Yes, so funnily enough, the title is taken from a Wham lyric.
That's amazing.
So people do find it quite an interesting little nugget of information when they tell them. It's from Club Tropicana. Interestingly enough, but the works, funnily enough, if you kind of want to relate them directly to the title, because a lot of the works and a lot of the artists are responding to changing ideologies within society, changing ways that they see themselves, they see the communities, they see the land, and especially sort of New Zealand's position of where we are geographically. It kind of seemed to align with the kind of the Lovers and Castaways play that I was working with in the title, without being sort of, you know, very obviously stating this is an artwork that has, you know, lovers in it and this is an artwork that has castaways in it. So I was kind of hoping that, you know, there would be kind of an oblique reference there without kind of jamming it down anyone's throat and leaving it open-ended so that people could really kind of form their own opinion.
Yes, and you touched on it a little bit, but this is an exhibition that's curated with pieces from the 1980s, and the 80s in New Zealand was a very interesting time period, especially socially. There was the Springbok tour, first Rugby World Cup, a lot of the first kind of films made by Māori directors as well. Can you?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Would you be able to just draw for us, I guess, like a line between at least one of the pieces and how it kind of fits into that and why you chose that and how it aligns with the 80s, I guess?
Sure. There's absolutely a few. One that kind of immediately comes to mind that I think is going to be really accessible to a lot of people, particularly if you live in Auckland around the sort of, or hang out around the sort of Kay Road, Ponsonby, Greyland area, is Pat Hanley. So Pat had done was one of the artists who was invited to do the mural on the corner of Kay Road and Ponsonby Road, the nuclear-free Aotearoa mural. So he was one of the several artists there. He had a very long history of protesting, particularly in the 80s. He, along with a number of colleagues of his, would inflate balloons with flour, with confetti, with paint, with various other things. And because he lived so close to Eden Park, they would let them fly up. And then when they obviously exploded, they would cause havoc over across Eden Park. Yeah. So there were a lot of, and there were kites as well. They had this whole program of protests that they did, particularly him and his partner, Gil. And she took a lot of photographs. She was a fantastic documentarian of that time. And I think, you know, she deserves a whole exhibition of works, just, well, of these works on her own, because they are a fantastic document of that period. But he has this great history of protesting, and so he protested the Springbok tour, he protested nuclear vessels coming into the Pacific. He then revisited an earlier body of work, the Fire series, that he created when he was living in the UK, which were about him protesting the Cold War. And so he revisited this earlier body of work and then reconfigured it for the Fire this time, which was specifically around nuclear vessels coming into the Pacific. And obviously Rainbow Warrior and everything that was going on there with the protests and people just being really vocal and really vehemently opposed to the threat of nuclear arms in the Pacific and the sort of destruction that they would wreak. So that's a work that we've included in the exhibition, and I think, you know, that's fantastic. You know, I've written about it in the exhibition label, you know, the sort of history that he's drawn on, as well as his history of protesting, and the fact that he's able to articulate his viewpoint in the work is really clear.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask a little bit about the curation process as well. Is there a particular memory that sticks out to you as representative of the curation process? Was there a piece that you came across where you went, wow, this is it?
There were a few works. What stood out for me as I was going through the collection, because really it kind of started off as an exploratory process of how many works do we have, and, you know, what was going on, you know, that time. But I realised that we had so many great examples and so many fantastic works that had never been shown over the years. They'd been acquired, and this often happens with collections, big or small, public or private, that artworks get acquired and then they just go and they sit somewhere in a room. And they don't often get seen. And I thought, well, this is a fantastic opportunity to pull as many of these examples out and have them be visible and have them be seen. And there were a number of works where I just went, oh my God, you know, this is just so pertinent and wonderful and fantastic. And then, you know, I'd look in the records and go, but why haven't we ever shown this? So, you know, particular examples like, you know, tapestries by Gordon Crook, or a couple of pieces that we've got in the exhibition by Julian Dashper. What's another one that immediately comes to mind? You know, Buchanan, we've got the fantastic Wakahuia lacquered box by Philip Heath, who had a real moment in the 80s and then sort of almost disappeared into the ether. But there's this wonderful record of what he did, and the sort of the meticulous craftsmanship with which he did it. And I thought, oh, well, it's fantastic. There's no way this isn't going in the show. You know, even if I run out of space, I will find a way to fit it in. So there were a few instances like that where I went, it's never been shown, but it's so terrific, and it needs its moment.
That was Alex Petrovich, curator of Lovers and Castaways. The exhibition's currently on at Power Homestead. We'll be back after a quick break. Keep it on the beat.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.